The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Made it to your weekend, and we are celebrating a football Friday. A little cross show action as well. I love it.
Me too.
I got to work with Hoodie the other day. That was a lot of fun. Waddle is at parents' weekend at Boston College visiting his youngest, who is a freshman at Boston College. Both him and his wife went to BC. That's where they met.
Lovely.
And so he hasn't seen her since she went away to school. He's having a fantastic time. He was setting the total. I think Tyler at like 5.5 beers on the golf course today.
Yeah, I took the alternate total over 9.5.
I'll take over.
I love it.
Ultimate total. I love it. And then I heard him tell you he's going to be at the tailgate tomorrow and they're going to the game.
Yep. Yep.
He's going to be in a drunken stupor all weekend.
You know it.
Have fun, Tommy.
Reliving his
getting back with the boys. Yeah. Getting back with the boys probably.
Yeah, wherever there was a party, Tommy was there. So, like, and before we get to Courtney here, remember the legendary story about Waddle is his best game of football, he doesn't remember the fourth quarter. Think about that. His game against the Dallas Cowboys, it was a playoff game that they ultimately lost. He went over 100. I think he had one touchdown. Did he have one or two?
That's right. No, I think he had a touchdown. Like over 100 yards and a touchdown.
He doesn't remember the entire fourth quarter.
That's crazy.
And it was the game of his life. Think about that.
It's crazy.
Just and someone is. Also today was sending around how violent the game used to be. It's still violent today. The Thomas Everett, the guy who split his chin open, gave him a concussion. Also, I think he had a leg injury on the play too. I tweeted it out earlier. I think Gustavo sent it to me earlier in the day. The video of the injury, the medicine ball as he calls that Steve Walsh threw to him in Tampa. Did you see the hit today?
I didn't see it.
I tweeted it out. It's on my Twitter account where Waddle just got
when that was that chin that he always talks about.
And then Jason Goff, I saw earlier after I retweeted it, say, this is why I go to bat for players all the time, getting every dime they can on the football field because of what they put their bodies through.
I agree.
So let's go to Courtney Cronin. Busy day out at House Hall. Lots of injuries to discuss. But, Courtney, you've covered the league for a while. You've seen it all. I saw you tweet about what happened to Tua. What are your overwhelming thoughts after a night to sort of digest what you saw on Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. I don't think it's a good look for anybody, whether it's the Miami Dolphins, the NFL as a whole, the concussion protocol, the policy, all the stuff that we heard Mike McDaniel try to lean on today. People are able to poke holes in it. And truly, I think this is a situation where a lot needs to be evaluated because we know players lie. Players lie to get back out on there, and I'm not accusing Tua of having done that, but like, you got to protect these guys from themselves. I mean, you heard Mike McDaniel talking this afternoon saying that, you know, Tua is trying to get him, you know, he's talking about trying to get back out there, or at least like, you know, yeah, like I really don't want to be out that long, whatever he said. And Mike McDaniel's telling him, you know, that's not what we're focused on right now. Like, I don't even want to have that conversation about timetables and things like that. And, you know, we're not medical experts. And, you know, there are a lot of people who want to play doctor today. But we know what we saw. And I've said this on every show I've been on this network. The roughing the passer call, he hits his head on the ground. And there's, you know, within the language of the concussion protocol, which never technically was in because they were somehow able to rule him out of being in that. In the matter of, you know, a couple minutes in the locker room at halftime, it just doesn't make a whole ton of sense to me. So I think this is a situation that's not going away anytime soon. And I think that Mike McDaniel was kind of fed to the wolves today. He shouldn't have been the only one out there at that press conference. They should have had the team doctor. They should have had the independent, you know, kind of like the arbiter they have on sidelines to determine are you concussed or are you not. And Chris Greer should have been out there. I thought that was a very unfortunate look for the Dolphins.
I think that's a great point, Courtney, because the biggest question is, like, is it still failing these players even though they're supposed to have these checks and balances in place with this independent doctor? You're right. There should be some accountability here. Like, how does that independent doctor and the team doctor not at some point get up and explain the process that cleared Tua last week?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. Like, you're leaving a football coach to defend his decision for, you know, not using common sense. And of course, Mike McDaniel's like, well, if I was just using the eye test and I hold him out of a game, and, you know, and he's not concussed, and, you know, when can I put him back in? Like, when can I play him again? Like, there's all these hypotheticals, and I just think that we're missing a lot here in terms of the common sense factor. Like, what we saw was someone staggering to get up on Sunday, had to, like, have his offensive lineman hold him up. And I know that I'm not – but there was the no-go is what J.C. Tretter, the president of the Players Association, tweeted, that Tua was – exhibiting no-go symptoms. And there's like there's language that I'm forgetting, but it's a three-word thing. It's basically like, if you are showing signs of some sort of neurological issue, like, you shouldn't be left out there. And he's claiming it was a back injury, and, you know, again, I've said this a thousand times, so, like, your spine is in your back. Like, I had three concussions when I played at Glenbrook South High School. I played soccer. That's the reason I do radio and everything now, because my mom's like, you're done, your athletic career is over. Saved me from myself doing that, because my issues were spinal cord related as to why I got concussions. So, like, the fact that we, like, say, oh, well, it's a back injury, do we not know that our spine is in our back, and that can trigger things, and that the tie between spinal cord injuries and concussions has been well documented? Like, it just feels that they've been trying to find, like, every reason to not call the first one a concussion, and then last night it's like, oh, it's very obviously a concussion. And I just think it's unfortunate that you don't get to hear from the people who actually made the medical decision and declaration to not have him play anymore.
Courtney Cronin with really good stuff. She's joining us right now. Carmen and Yurko are with me today. Yurko told some really good stories about how coaches are sometimes still make the calls over trainers and doctors, and he talked about how it used to be too. And you brought up the point, Courtney, about players being needed to be saved from themselves. Do coaches need someone above them to save them from making these stupid decisions? Do they need to be saved from themselves?
Well, I think that they need to be given the right to use their own common sense to be like, something isn't right here. And, you know, of course, Mike McDaniel's not going to, if he had to do it all over again, would not have put a player in that sort of situation. But the fact that they did it on a short week, too, that's the most egregious part of all of this. Like, it's not like he had a week in between games, which even then wouldn't have been enough. But to do this on a short week and all that goes into that, like, coaches are going to defer the people who are smarter than them in terms of the medical field, because that's one way for them to show, like, I didn't get involved in this. But I think that someone should have. I think common sense should have prevailed in this, and that failed them ultimately, because apparently he was not exhibiting enough signs of a neurological event to get him pulled from the game. I mean, that's like the one thing I know, and I've been talking with people today about, like, there needs to be some sort of streamlined process. We need to know exactly what the concussion protocol is and what the testing is. It has to be more than just, I give you five numbers and you repeat them back to me, or I give you five words and you repeat them back to me. I'm not concussed right now, and I'd probably have a tough time doing that. Like, I need to know, and I think a lot of people do, like, what more goes into that process, because they're not transparent about it. And I think that that's the downfall of the NFL, where we're putting players knowingly in harm's way because, you know, these are competitors, they want to play, and obviously they have a short window to do so, and there's paycheck and return on investment that everybody's benefiting from. So you've got to fix the process. It's a broken system, and yeah, I know we've come a long way in terms of TBI, CTE, you name it. This is a big, big, big problem. And for Mike McDaniel, who was, you know, 5 days ago was the hottest coach in the NFL at 3-0, is now like the most scrutinized coach in the NFL because of his decision ultimately in rolling Tua out there.
Is Tua's career over?
I mean, I don't think he should play the rest of the year. And I know that that's a declaration I'm making, and not having seen any of his, you know, his MRI, anything like that, I think it is too dangerous. I think this is a guy who's in a bet on himself type year, because we know owner Stephen Ross is incredibly impatient. He pulls the plug on people usually within a 3-year span, and he had to prove himself this year. I don't know. He's going to hit his head again. That's the nature of the sport. It's a violent sport to begin with, but how are you going to be comfortable? How is he going to be comfortable being out there knowing that this could happen again? Like, I think this, you err on the side of caution and you don't even worry about football. because, and I've been around this. I remember there was a linebacker I covered with the Minnesota Vikings who it took him 12 weeks to clear concussion protocol because you're dealing with like the onset of symptoms that come on a lot of times afterwards. And even yesterday we're hearing, you know, from Mike McDaniel today, but that when they were flying back, he was complaining about headaches. Why is he on an airplane? Like, do you guys not remember the Chargers offensive lineman who gets concussed in a game against the Jets? They're flying back to L.A. and he has a seizure on the plane. They have to make an emergency landing at the end of his career. Do you want that for your quarterback? Like, they've gone about this whole process wrong the entire time, and I just – everything's been a misstep from the management, from the coaching staff, medical staff, to how it's being, you know, treated today with the press conference.
If I can't trust the doctors, I can't trust the coaches, and I can't trust the player, who do I trust? Right.
I mean, there's a lot. That's a loaded question, and you know that because, who do
absolutely.
We trust in this situation? It's tough, and it boils down to there's money involved in this, and sometimes money gets sacrificed. Players' health gets sacrificed for the bottom line for billionaire owners who are putting people in harm's way. I mean, it's a collision sport. I'm not trying to be putting out to intimate that they shouldn't be tackling or this should. You know, there's ways around this. No, concussions are going to happen within the game, but handling it in a little bit more of a judicious manner than the way that they did is the only way that you prevent stuff like this from happening again.
Courtney, let's move to the Bears. And before we get into opinions about Justin Fields and the offense, there was a lot of news to come out of Hallis Hall today based on injuries, including Cairo Santos, maybe the most dependable Bear, possibly missing this game. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it's interesting because he's on the report with a personal reason, and we saw him in the locker room, saw him at practice on Wednesday, and he hasn't been there the last 2 days. And I'm not going to speculate on what the personal reason is, but I know that they're bringing in kickers. They brought in kickers today, according to the Wire, to work out just in the event that he's not able to go. And that's certainly that of all the names that are on there, that one raises the biggest red flag to me because. You know, it's not like there's some sort of illness like Robert Quinn. You hope it's an illness he's able to, again, we're going back to player safety and being like, just suck it up and get over it in 2 days, right? Like, maybe he can. But in terms of, like, this thing with Cairo Santos, it raises an eyebrow or two because Matt Eberflus would not go into it today and discuss that it was a personal reason. But, you know, they've got to have a backup plan because they don't have another kicker on the roster or on the practice squad right now. And unless they've got some sort of Justin Reed hanging out on the team that we don't know about, a position player who can kick, they're going to have to bring somebody else in.
That never works out well anyway, when you have a position player that you think can kick when push comes to shove.
Except for Kansas City.
But even that, they're running, he's going for it, he's running fakes, and he's got to go for it. Because you're never going to trust a position player to make a big kick, I don't think, in an NFL game. How about Velus Jones? I mean, could we finally see him on the field this weekend?
I'm sorry, who was that you guys cut out?
Velus Jones. Do you think we'll finally see him?
I mean, he was a full participant in practice today. That's the first time that's happened all year, at least when they started, you know, keeping it up with injury reports, because we know this is the same hamstring injury that he has been dealing with now for a number of weeks, in dating back to training camp. And I thought it was interesting this week he admits that he dealt with a setback, which, you know, I don't think it took a genius to figure that out because he was trending towards playing. And then all of a sudden he wasn't practicing. So this is, you know, I think it's a good sign that he's questionable. That's technically like the highest designation he's had while injured. The offense could use him. They need speed. Like they don't have, that's the element they don't have in this offense. And I think for someone like Justin Fields, if you're holding on to the ball too long, if you think that routes are taking too long to develop, having a guy with 4.3 speed on the outside can only help. So, and plus on top of that, you need receivers. Like, you know, Byron Pringle's out for a minimum of 4 weeks. And, you know, we've seen how much of a struggle it's been to get the ball to Darnell Mooney so far. So I think you be cautiously optimistic about it. I know that when we were talking with Matt Eberflus, Richard Hightower was kind of chuckling about it yesterday, too. Like when, you know, kind of coming out of the gate, like, so what's up with Velus? Is he going to play? And he's like, I hope so. I mean, I think everybody hopes so because you spent a third round pick on this guy and you haven't been able to see him do anything yet, and your offense needs it. So I imagine this will be a situation they go put him through a pregame workout on Sunday, see how the hamstring holds up, and then make the determination from there. The good sign I noticed, though, last week was that pregame, he went through the entire warm-up. It wasn't just a limited situation. Like, he was out there for more than an hour, and I've seen him stretching the thing out, like, you know, making sure that his body's good. And, you know, it's going to be – I think they're going to have to put him on a pitch count if they do have him out there this week, because you just don't want to run the risk of re-injury.
I'm talking to Courtney Cronin, our Bears reporter. It's Waddle and Sylvie with Carmen and Yurko filling in for Waddle today. We played all of the Luke Getsy stuff, and I like the Luke Getsy press conference more than any other press conference they run.
Probably
whatever.
The best one right now.
Right. I mean, but I've always said to you, Courtney, that I think he's very candid, but was he lying to us yesterday, or at least stretching the truth, when he said that we trust Justin Fields, that Justin Fields isn't hesitating throwing the ball, and that we're running the full offense? Were those all lies to protect
us? They're not running the full offense. They're not running the full offense. Like, no, where's the play action? Like, if this is the full offense, then somebody forgot to do their homework, because there's not enough play action, and this is a staple of the scheme. So, absolutely not. But I think he's trying to protect his quarterback within also, you know, gradually easing him along. Running on third and medium and third and long is never like, I don't know, like, if that's repeatedly happening, that tells you something about your quarterback, and that maybe you don't trust him in those moments because of what's been happening on third down. Like, think about all the third down plays that weren't runs for this team. Fields was getting sacked, and that was a problem against Houston. I think Luke Getsy pointed out, when I asked him about the Komet interception, you know, because Eberflus mentioned this week he wanted Fields to work on footwork and timing. Well, you think that that's kind of maybe, you know, dealing with the mechanics, and Fields said the ball slipped out of his hand on that one, and he actually went and took it a step in a completely different direction, saying how he, you know, Cole came open on his route quicker because there were, I think it was the corner route that got taken for Mooney, that was the one that got taken away. That was on the 29-yarder. Anyways, on this one with Cole, we know that Equanimee St. Brown. Sorry, I'm like picturing it in my head. Equanimee St. Brown's the one who was open on the outside on the visitor sideline. Komet's the one that came across the middle. And I guess there was something within that Fields had to adjust to very quickly and make a split-second decision. And that's what Getsy called brilliant. Like, I talked about this on SportsCenter this morning. Like, he's using words that you wouldn't necessarily describe for a play that ended in disaster. So whether that's a coach just having his guys back or showing that there are improvements in his mechanics that hopefully you see translate to completed passes, like, the stats tell a story, and that's not typically a lie. But I do think that there are good things that at least Luke Getsy sees that he believes he can build upon. But no, to the point of them being able to run the full offense, they're not doing that right now. And a lot of that has to do because of what the quarterback isn't executing, and maybe they don't think he's ready to do just yet.
I'm Geppetto, and my little Pinocchio is Luke Getsy. Give me a break. Come on.
He's playing great. We know truncate the offense.
And I'm seeing his nose grow. I mean, what?
Isn't there a new Pinocchio out
there? I think there is, yeah. And Luke Getsy, I'm a Pinocchio, Justin great.
Give me a break. I mean, you got to be kidding me with that yesterday. I thought the same thing you did, Sylvie. I'm like, really? Now, Justin? No, it's fabulous. We're running the full compliment.
Last week he was like, Mooney has to be better. He ran a sloppy route, and Justin could have thrown him open. And this week he's like, hey,
no, everything's awesome. Right?
Our guys are doing a lot.
Well, what do you mean? When you win, things are a little bit rosier. When you lose, you're a little more critical.
Maybe you're right.
What's
your prediction, Courtney?
Both these offenses can't score a lot of points. I think the Giants will pull this one out, and I think it'll be like 17-13. And I would like to say, though, that my prediction last week when I came on the show on Friday, 23-20, I had that right. So I don't know what my score is on the year. I just know I got one prediction right so far, probably the first prediction in my career.
Yeah,
so
nice
I'm proud of that moment.
That's good stuff
bonus
right
point.
There.
When you nail shame, it, that's shame, what two.
We're going to bring that back. Yeah. We're going to make that her open now.
Please do, because Waddle hasn't come up with my song, so you might as well give me something that I can hang my hat on.
We're taking that for our show for Courtney's Open.
That's what we'll do.
Like
we'll steal it. That was
my
idea.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Yeah.
It's from our show.
Doesn't matter.
She made the prediction on our
show.
It
doesn't matter.
It's our idea.
You took Meller's. You took the waiver wire.
That's right.
The waiver watch.
Meller was ours. And then you took Meller away.
Too bad.
That's crap.
All right, we'll Courtney, it. We'll continue to fight. Thank you,
bye,
though.
Courtney.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
She's great. Awesome. Courtney Cronin all over the Bears.
She's awesome. Hey,
and then that was great. Carmen breaks into a Pinocchio impersonation.
A real Italian right. Pinocchio.
Here's the
too.
Dangerous thing. When I ask her the question, if you don't trust the coaches, you don't trust the doctors, you don't trust
anybody.
I go, who do you trust?
Do you trust the NFL on anything?
No.
I asked her the question
except
also.
Except by giving good football?
About, I mean, should he not play? I mean, you know, is his career over? He shouldn't play the rest of the year, right? Which is fine. Okay? It's fine. He gets paid every single game this year. He's played long enough. He'd be on injured reserve. He'd be in concussion protocol all the way out.
Then what?
Who decides, does he come back or not? Who gets to decide his career is over?
Well,
does he have to make that decision by himself? My career is over? Or is somebody going to push him to that decision?
I don't know, man. I mean,
if that's the decision that needs to happen, who tells him his career is over?
Right. Especially
you
when
can't
it's been
earn
so short.
Another dollar here ever again because we deem that your head is susceptible to injury and we don't want to be
especially
liable.
Especially when it's so short, like his career has already
of
been.
Of course,
so
but I mean, okay,
he's just taking off.
Take these to the next steps. Who gets to make these tough decisions?
It's a great question, right. And it's a complicated one.
Yes,
I don't think any of us have the answers.
I don't know
if the NFL has them,
and I don't think they do. I think they're worried about the future of their league if they go too far down the road Yurko's talking about. I think that would concern them about the future of their league a little bit, and so that's why they. In my mind, they've probably found like a happy medium where you see a lot of commercials about player safety and they can brag about it and independent this and independent that. The general public, by and large, has sort of forgotten. Remember the conversations 5 years ago?
Yeah, with the movie and everything else?
Remember
the movie came out?
That disappeared like a fart in the wind.
It always does.
That's gone. Football's back. Everybody loves football.
Carm, is there really, truly anything independent in the NFL? When they had the appeal process, and say what you want, whether you think that it was a good thing that they retried Deshaun Watson, remember what the independent judge said. The independent judge said it's six games.
Right.
And then what happened?
And
the NFL was like, you know what? Our independent, we're gonna now appeal it to our guy.
It's a good point.
So there is no true independence.
Right.
And maybe that's what they
and
need.
And there's a crooked arbitration system waiting for you if you want to argue anything in the league. Goes to the commissioner, in essence, and then he gets to decide.
Right.
You're wrong still.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Or appointed to a guy he knows he's going to get what he wants from.
But, it's the arbitration process.
Right.
You can't take it to a court of law, which is what they're trying to do with Flores. He's an employee of the league.
Right.
He gets it through the arbitration process.
Right. All right, coming up next, Waddle's World. Carmen's going to do a little of that, and then that's where we're going to go into Yurko's world, and he's going to give us Yurko's keys to the game as we continue to talk some Bears. It's a football Friday. You've made it to your weekend. We're drinking ice cold Miller Lite. Come out and see us. We're at Legends in Woodridge on ESPN 1000.
The Waddle and Sylvie Miller Time live broadcast, live from Legends in Woodridge.
Listen to Chicago's home for sports on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Now back to Sylvie, Carmen, and Yurko.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
This is how we do
Waddle's World is brought to you, as always, by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's banks. To find the nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. Give me an F.
How about
a D? Give me an I. Give me a C.
How about Yurko? In the middle of, and Waddle's out today.
Yeah.
He's at BC for Parents Weekend. His youngest daughter. So we're going to have Carmen do some of the sportsy stuff, and Yurko's going to give us his keys to the game.
Yes, I am.
I also see Freddie Huebner here. We got to do what's up your can later.
Freddie.
Oh, I see it. I see Freddie's can.
Oh, yeah, you got to put earplugs in for Waddle's World.
Yeah,
he hates Waddle's World.
He's
something. You know how Freddie is.
I thought he meant, would you rather?
He hates it all.
No, does he?
I told him there will be no Benetti slander today.
None. Benetti slander for his own.
That's ridiculous.
Is it my radio or my wife's partner? What else we got today?
It's Wednesdays. I love, though, Yurko. During Courtney Cronin.
Yeah.
I don't know. What were you eating? You were
French
eating,
fries.
He was eating French fries while his mic was on.
Somebody put chicken tenders and French fries in front of me.
Oh, you didn't order those?
I didn't order them. No.
But move the mic or you hear.
I just started eating the fries. I went.
Try. If you go back on the podcast or if you're listening now on the podcast.
I didn't hear him. You're going to have to really listen.
Oh, I heard it.
And you could rewind. Yeah, listen for the.
Delicious. Is that all it was?
Yeah, I looked at Carmen. Man. I go, is this?
Yes,
I kind of gave you the look. Is this par for the course?
Yes, of course it is. This is what we
He's
do.
Always eating during the show.
Well, while Courtney's talking.
Sure. While I'm talking sometimes. And then I have to keep talking because I know he's not done chewing. Right. So I have to wait until he's done chewing.
I looked at Meller and I'm like, am I hearing what I'm hearing? Is this going on?
You pretend like you're a radio professional? What's going on?
I got my eggs over here ready.
This guy's got a ham sandwich made at home.
Eggs. I got eggs.
I'm like coming into the restaurant with your own meal, you know?
I know, yeah.
He's got pie.
He's got eggs.
You asked for key lime pie out of the chute.
I didn't ask for key lime pie. I said I asked if they had key lime pie. Okay. But
Danny Lynch delivered you pie.
I didn't tell strangers to bring me pie. Carmen suggested that somebody should bring me pie.
And Danny
somebody
did.
Did bring me pie. But I told Carmen, you can't tell people to bring food to a restaurant. It doesn't work that way.
Did you eat it?
Oh, I ate that pie like
How was
nothing.
It?
Lemon meringue.
Lemon meringue.
Done. Done.
I love a good lemon meringue.
Southside Mike wanted a little bit, but I said, no.
No, this is for me.
I go, this banana cream, you can take a bath in it. I don't care.
And I think he took a bath in it.
You take a bath in it. You can do whatever you want with the vanilla.
I like to eat my banana cream pie and not take a bath.
All right. So what do we have?
Waddle's World Stories
right now.
So really quick, though, let me read you this. Okay. Nick tweeted it. He says, I think Carr needs to do a weekly segment where he reads the Getsy press conference transcript as Geppetto.
We could do that. We could probably do that.
Every week.
That'd be on our show.
We'll do that on our show.
Yeah, that you should do on your show.
We could do that on our show. All right. We'll do that.
I love how you claim Meller's waiver wire.
Yeah, well.
I thought of
Listen.
It.
Listen.
Meller's waiver wire follows Meller.
I guess.
No, I thought of it. I mean, I thought of it. I thought of it.
You were the first to ever think of a waiver wire.
Yeah. I was the creator. No, everybody was doing fantasy one boring way. I said, let's try to do it this way.
We said, who cares about who should I play amongst my three wide receivers? And we said, well, what about if Meller told everybody who to pick up on the waiver? Now, that's good info.
Now, Meller, on the other hand, creates the content.
Yes.
So he's the content creator of Meller's waiver wire.
This leads us perfectly into Waddle's world because there are some big injuries, guys, including Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has been ruled out. And I'll tell you, he is a – guys, I mean, he's a superstar, isn't he?
He's a
superstar.
He's a single-handed
juggernaut. We've got the best St. Brown now.
Well, for a week or two at least, maybe. But
Amon-Ra, we got a healthy St. Brown.
Amon-Ra has been ruled out. DeAndre Swift is also considered unlikely to play. So that high-powered Detroit offense
is
going to be missing a couple key components.
I was going to put them on one of my like it or love. I think they're a four-point favorite this week.
Yeah, three, four, yeah.
They're playing a bad Seattle team,
bad
though.
Bad team.
Do you still think that they're going to win? With
Yeah, I do, and I think Seattle's got a lot of flaws and a lot of holes. I don't know how much I like laying points with teams like Detroit just yet, to be honest, because I still think very, very flawed team. And the quarterback is very flawed, even though he's played better this year. I think when push comes to shove, it's like what happens when you're in a close game late? Like, how much do I trust Jared Goff? I don't trust him a lot. And now without Amon-Ra, if they don't have DeAndre Swift, that could be a tough one. That's probably a stay away without those two.
Oh, boy. And DeAndre Swift is officially out.
He's officially out.
That's come down within the last hour.
Okay, so he's out, too. That's significant, guys.
How about Kamara? What do we have with Kamara?
Well, I'll get to that one because Jameis Winston is listed as doubtful. I think Andy Dalton's going to be starting the London game, guys. Yeah. And Michael Thomas has already been ruled out of that game. So we're seeing significant injuries. That's an offense that has flat out stunk the first three quarters of games so far this year. Listen to this, guys. And we're talking about it on Odds Couple, and the podcast is up on the ESPN Chicago app. On early downs in the first three quarters this season, the New Orleans Saints are 31st in the NFL in EPA per play. 31st. They've been absolutely dreadful. And now it could be Andy Dalton and Michael Thomas. So
you wondered if they're going to miss Sean Payton.
I like the first half under.
You're wondering if they're going to miss Sean Payton?
I might lose that bet.
Pete Carmichael Jr., my buddy, good pal of mine, just not finding a way to get it done right now offensively.
I'm going to owe you a bottle of bourbon.
It's okay.
I think I'm going to.
Happy.
No, not Pappy.
23.
We said not Pappy.
Pappy, stop. 23.
They're not getting Pappy.
What are you being so selfish?
How about the 2020 Maker's Mark?
How about the Maker's Mark?
Sylvie, well played.
2020, yeah.
Those are damn hard to get. And I had one on my doorstep until someone stole it.
All right, what else?
You rat bastard, he told you.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Can you imagine if he never said, if he's just like, ah, yeah, Marv, you know. Karma, you didn't get it?
It's the
what a great move.
I'm starting the move.
What a great
I'm
move.
I'm going to start using that.
It's like the Larry David when he shows up at the party the night before because he doesn't want to go to the actual party. Right? Oh, it's not tonight? Oh, well. So, or he goes the next day.
Come on, it's what's next in Carmen's continent?
It's a funny guy.
Instead
funny
of Waddle's
did you, what did you call
Carmen's
it?
Carmen's continent.
Yurko's universe.
Yurko's universe. That's right.
All right, more news. Let's see. What else can I give you guys that's good on here?
Give us something.
Vikings running back Dalvin. Speaking of the London game, that's the early game Sunday for us.
Is it 9 a.m.?
I think it's 8:30. I believe 8:30 is the kick.
8:30 kickoff time.
Dalvin Cook has been cleared to play. He suffered a subluxation of his left shoulder in the third quarter last week. But he is good to go.
The it came out.
He took it out.
It subluxed.
He took it
he
out.
He took it out.
It out.
And then he put it right back in.
Just like our buddy Berger during the bachelor party.
Just like Berger, baby. Let's see.
What else you got for us,
what else is good?
Carmen's continent.
I'm looking here. I don't know. There's not, a, lot of good sportsy stuff.
I don't
really
care now if it's
that. It's much bigger.
Mac Jones is officially out for the Patriots.
I saw that. Jones is out.
What were they playing with all week? He's just...
Belichick.
What's the point of him just playing around like that?
I think he likes it. I think he gets off on it a little bit. You know, like I do. I think he does.
Would be back.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Belichick goes home and watches the tape and... You know,
is unhappy when he's too cooperative.
Yeah, I think he kind of gets off on it. Some of us go to YouPorn. I think Belichick puts that on, and he's like, "I got him again. Oh, I'm messing with him.
Look at me. Look at me go."
Yeah, I think he likes it.
You know how Sean Payton is going to get signed by
somebody,
like
Cowboys,
the Cowboys, or who? Somebody big when he comes back. If Bill Belichick would become free, would anybody bend over backwards? I mean, it. Are we seeing now that it was mostly Brady?
Are we seeing that the player actually helps?
Isn't he sub-500 without Brady in his career?
Yeah, I mean, I bet he's close. Probably.
The Browns' run wasn't great.
Yeah, he had a 10-6 season with the Browns, but he also had a 6-10, I think, in there.
And then before Brady, two years ago.
To be fair, the second year with the Browns was the year the Browns decided to leave.
Move,
That's true.
Yeah, that was an impossible
year. That
was
the blackout year.
That's true.
They had a very talented team.
It was up against it. That's a good 12 point.
12-4 the year before they came back and they crapped
the bed. I thought they were 10-6.
I thought it was 12-4
maybe. I don't know, but I bet you're right, Sylvie.
With Saban.
And I think, I wouldn't argue if you said Bill Belichick's the greatest coach. I don't think I'd argue.
You can't argue with that.
But at the same time.
Would you want him now?
Not only would you want him now, who's more important? The quarterback is more important.
Right, you know that.
I mean, Cap tried to argue with me once, like, oh, no, the great coach or the great GM is more. No, the great coach or great GM is not more important
than
the great
important
player.
Than a quarterback. Maybe than a baseball player. Like, I always understood the Theo argument.
I don't know, guys.
Yeah, not me.
But it's certainly nobody's more important than the quarterback.
No.
I'm sorry.
In anything.
It's Brady. It's Brady. That's who's important.
Well, I think the Bill Belichick thing is simply that he has got things going his way so much in New England, and he's established it over the course of many years. He doesn't have enough time to do that anywhere else. I mean, and they're not going to put up with his nuances at a new place the way they put up with him there because of all the success he had.
And when you don't have Brady, then you decide to go with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia as your offensive coordinator, then you get exposed.
Well, he already said that, though. He told them, I go, this is my plan, my idea, and if it doesn't work with these two guys, then it's my fault.
It is.
Well, that's fine.
I think that's Sylvie's point.
But it's a little bit early, though. You got him dead and buried already 3 games into the season.
I would
exercise caution.
Get ready for Brian Hoyer.
There may be counsel caution in this type of situation because he still is a damn good coach.
He is a good coach. Of course he is. He's a great coach.
Yep.
But you just see like how hard it is when you don't have great players around.
I think this is Carmen's club. I don't think it's
Carmen's
a country
club. That's good.
Continent.
I like it.
It's Carmen's club.
Carmen's club sounds good.
Continent.
Somebody call me? Oh,
I said continent.
Oh. You want to do keys? That's all.
Let's do that on the other side here.
Other side.
Let's give him room to roam. I look forward. This is a I look forward to every one of your shows.
I've prepared the keys here probably for a better part of 6 days now.
I know.
Before Sunday started, I was preparing this week's keys.
Yurko's been in the lab all week long to come up with these keys, and he's going to deliver them coming up next. We're live in Woodridge at Legends. This place is huge, by the way.
Great place.
I didn't know how much room there was in the back.
It's gigantic.
What a great crowd, too.
Try some of the machines back there.
Yeah.
Try your hand there.
Oh, they have poker back there?
Not poker. They got slot machines back here.
Or slot machines.
Six of them.
Nice.
Come out and see us, and Yurko's keys are next.
Live from Legends in Woodridge, where the Miller Light is a-flowing. The Waddle and Sylvie Miller Time live broadcast on ESPN 1000.
Take it out, or you want to take it out?
No,
you take it.
You got to take it out. You want Carmen to do it because Carmen's more natural at it. You can feel free.
Look, you know.
Well, I think he means that Yurko's keys. That's what
he doesn't. He was taking a shot.
It was not. Carmen and I have done the keys for how many years now?
A lot.
So he knows how to introduce it. He knows how to bring it in.
Are these Yurko's keys to victory? Yurko's keys to the game?
Yurko's keys to victory for the Bears.
Okay. Here we go. Key number one.
You have to say Yurko. You have to say Yurko. I ask you, what are the keys to victory?
Yurko, I ask you, what are the keys to victory?
Sylvie, I'm glad you asked. Key number one to a victory for the Bears over the New York Giants in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Is it actually in Secaucus?
It's in Secaucus.
Is it?
Absolutely, 100%. I know. All right. I've been there. I've played there.
Sylvie goes right to the computer.
Secaucus, New Jersey.
Isn't it East Rutherford?
Yeah.
I think it's East Rutherford. Yeah.
Secaucus.
Yeah, no, it's East Rutherford.
The
NBA
headquarters used to be in Secaucus.
Put Secaucus in there. I'm telling you, it's Secaucus.
I think it's East Rutherford.
Maybe the Hilton that I stayed at right across the way
is in Secaucus.
Because it's across the highway. Either way, here are the keys to the game to beat the Giants in East Rutherford, New Jersey, just to make Sylvie happy. Key number one. Thank you very much. The Bears, they can run the ball. They want to run the ball. They will have to run the ball in a game of really a cross-country teams, two of them, that are all going to want to run the ball. The Bears have been effective. They need to continue to stay effective. You can't bank on your quarterback pretty much to do anything. So you're going to have to hand the ball off, unfortunately, and this is what your offensive line is built better to do.
What an endorsement.
Yeah. Key number two. But we've got to ask something of the quarterback. We simply can't exonerate him and say just hand the ball off all day. So what I would like to see in his 22 throws that he's probably going to have, because I anticipate them having some more plays in this game.
Hey, over 20, I'll take.
If he can go 16 of 22.
Okay.
Right, and I'm not asking them for a lot. For 150 yards.
Oh, wow.
That's not a lot. That's not a lot.
No, relatively speaking.
16 of 22 for 155 yards.
I like the completion percentage, but that's a paltry yards per attempt.
Well, it is, but it's a lot better than what his current yards per attempt is. So I'm giving him room for improvement and hoping there's going to be improvement. If that happens, I think the Bears are going to find themselves in pretty good shape in this game. Key number three. They haven't been a takeaway juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination, the Chicago Bears, but they've done enough in the takeaway game that the hits principle, the T, has actually stood for a little bit something.
You're right, Eric.
So let's do it again the fortuitous way. Let's force more turnovers, whether it's the deflection in the end zone that lands into the hands, whether it's a strip, sack, recover the fumble, make something happen. Whether it's a tip ball at the line of scrimmage, I don't care how you have to do it. Find a way to take the ball away to give your offense a couple of bunnies. That way they've got a chance. Key number four.
Perfect.
I usually say threes and sevens and sevens and threes, and that means you'd rather score touchdowns than kick field goals. This is going to be a game of field goals. With Cairo Santos maybe out and not knowing who might be the kicker for the Chicago Bears, it's imperative with the special teams, once they get the opportunity, to have that clean mesh from short snapper to punter to whoever happens to be the kicker. Because in a game that I predicted before I knew Santos was injured, it's a 15-12 Bears victory with five field goals and the New York Giants with four field goals.
Awful.
This field goal kicking situation is going to be something to watch and something to look for. So hopefully the Bears can rectify it and that guy's able to go ahead and do it. So what we're going to have is going to be a nine field goal
Come
game.
On.
It's not going to be sexy. The Bears are probably going to be 3-1, guys.
That's awful.
3-1 with a 15-12 victory where your quarterback may have not answered any more questions than he can. And key number five.
Wow.
With everybody kind of starting to get beat up around the league, and we just did the injury report a little bit to see what's that. Key number five is the Bears players staying healthy through this whole process. Because this team is not a deep team, okay? This team has got enough injuries already where if they start losing more players, my dreams of 9 victories for the season is going to go by the wayside. So key number five is this team stays healthy. And those are the keys to a Bears victory against the New York Giants in East Rutherford.
There you go.
Very good.
Hot Sunday. Smoking hot.
Good kid.
Even though Bears plus the 3.
Your East Rutherford is my Secaucus, New Jersey.
Here's what I did. I Googled it.
Are they right across the street from each other?
Right across the river.
Right.
Yeah. There's a river there. 5 minutes, 2.5 miles via New Jersey 3 East.
Yeah, it's right there. It's
right
close.
There.
That's
where
I met.
You're right.
That's there. I met the Playboy centerfold model from 1967 in August, my birth month.
Really?
They were doing a big,
kind of amazing.
Yeah, they were doing a big Playboy like convention, like
a reunion.
Playboy Con.
Yeah.
They were doing it, and they had it. Everybody was back.
Yeah.
All the girls were back.
You went and saw Miss August 67.
I went and saw Miss August 67. She still had her
Did
A
she?
Game.
I didn't see Miss December 76. I'm interested.
I think she was about, when I saw her, this is like 2000 and, no, it was 19, it was with Jacksonville, 1997. Like.
Is this a thing where people seek out? The playmate of
I
your
did.
Birth?
I did.
Now that he says it, I want to go
did.
Look.
Only because I found out the Playboy convention was there.
No, the woman who...
I grabbed the Playboy. She signed the Playboy for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I grabbed the Playboy from August of 67.
Mine would be like 70 plus years old.
Mine's near 70 now, probably.
Now, yeah. But 97, she wasn't that old.
Right.
Right?
Well, she would have been 50-something probably.
She would have been, yeah, 50.
She would have been 50-something.
She would have been right there.
Yeah.
Well, she had an A-game back then, too.
Sylvie and I, we're too old now. I mean,
I'll bring a copy to the station.
It's 46 years
it
ago. I
yeah.
mean,
it's a long time.
I'm just saying, I had the chance to do that there, and it was in Secaucus. At the big, you know, the Hilton where the Bears stay sometimes, too. So I had a chance to do that. I
we
that
met
was
a playmate. We met a
Holly Madison. Man. She's very disgruntled.
No, another
days.
One. Another
Holly
one.
Holly Madison.
We met Holly Madison.
I know, but we met another one. We met an
Darts
oldie but a goodie. We met like the Playboy Playmate from like 1973.
Yeah.
We met her at Tavern on Rush, I think.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. She was just there and told us.
She happened to be there. We were with some friends. We struck up a conversation. She was, and we vetted it. She wasn't lying.
And back then,
and she still looked good.
They weren't as naughty as they you know are later on. You know what I'm saying?
What
the pictures.
Naughty?
They were more artistic,
well, more artistic
back then.
Yeah.
A little more hidden.
Well,
a little
Playboy
more
was always like
imagination.
That. It wasn't, you know, wasn't I know.
And then you went to Hustler.
And then you went to Wee.
I just love that Yurko treats the playmate of your birth month like it's your birthstone.
It's your birthstone,
yeah.
Of course.
Who was your playmate?
Yeah.
She was. Playmate
yeah.
of your birth
well,
month.
Everybody should know yeah. that.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't?
Zetterman tells us that his father has every Playboy.
Everyone.
I love that.
Every Playboy ever in the basement.
Does that surprise you knowing Harry Zetterman, honestly?
He's got a cigar, Harry.
Like, I mean, come on.
He's sitting on the toilet with a cigar in his mouth.
Looking at the Playboy.
Reading the Playboy.
Reading the articles. Reading the
he's
articles.
Looking
Come
at the
on.
Measurements and finding out what she likes to do in her spare
yeah.
time.
Fantastic.
Like, that's very Harry Zetterman.
All right, we're live in Woodridge at Legends. We're going to talk. You and Doug could have a really good
conversation. I love
conversation.
Doug. Yeah.
Doug Kazarian. He had a great play last week, Yurko. We got to give him credit because we did not give Courtney credit early on. We'll tell you about the home run he hit last week. It's coming up next.